Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. A couple weeks ago, we finished up a series of live podcasts talking about the hit show on Netflix called 13 Reasons 13 Why.
Reasons Why.
It was also a fantastic book. I would recommend you reading that. Very well written by Jay Asher. It came out a number of years ago, but it's really good. It's really good.
We were in the bookstore yesterday. My daughter picked up a copy of it. She had read it years ago. I'm always surprised with the publishing date.
I gotta get another copy of it because I think I loaned my copy to someone and they never returned it. So, you know,
still available.
It's out there. Right. Oh, and now, especially now, I mean, there's plenty of copies. So, but this podcast, we're going to talk about an article that was written in Psychology Today by a Robin Pendeley, entitled "One Crucial Thing 13 Reasons Why Got Right."
Right.
Or Gets Right.
When I saw this title, I thought, well, I need to read this because since the Netflix production, distribution of this series, there have been a number of articles that have come out and a number of debates about did the show provide useful or dangerous information.
And if you're wondering that, you should listen to our podcast.
Right.
Because we think that there was a lot of things that it got right.
Right. For example, one of the, about a week ago, my youngest daughter sent me a news story about two girls in California who took their own lives, committed suicide. And the parents were blaming the series for facilitating and making contributing to the girl's decision. And so you have these vast differences of opinion about the show and how it was done and whether it was accurate or what the effects of it might be. So when I saw this, I thought, well, let me see what this person says. And there's an interesting perspective here with this one that I think worth sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but again, if you want to hear more about what we think about it, we really kind of went in and dissected the program pretty pretty deeply, and because we think that there was a lot of things in this program, and this is one of the things that we talked about.
Right.
And he emphasizes the importance of communication.
Right. That's what this one's about.
Right.
It's about the role of communication.
Right.
As it is depicted in the series.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And of course there's three areas in which we're talking about communication. From teen to teen, so the way in which the teenagers communicate with each other.
Right.
Parent to parent.
Right.
And then teen to parent.
Right.
So we have three. And this show does do a pretty good job of demonstrating those differences.
Yeah, if you just look at the show from the perspective of communication, you know, and that's sort of what he does in this article. Let's strip away everything else, okay, and let's just look at the communication part.
Right. So the first one he talks about is the way in which the teens talk with each other.
Right.
And he talks about, and as you will see in the program, they talk very openly with each other.
Yes.
Very direct. Oftentimes in what some would consider harsh terms, but very direct, very sometimes confrontational ways. But that communication, as we'll talk about in a moment, is very different than the way they communicate with others.
You're right. And even peer-to-peer, it's still stunted.
Right.
Because they're... And the point he makes is there's so much that they don't say.
Right. That's the key is that even though it presents as so confrontational and so in your face and so apparently on the surface it appears thorough
and complete and raw.
Right. But as you get to know the characters and you get to see what's going on, it's not. It's not.
No.
Just as a quick example, because we've talked about this multiple times, the relationship between Hannah and the two main characters, Hannah and Clay.
Right. That's right.
they had interactions and communications mm-hmm. throughout the 13 episodes. Mm-hmm. But neither of them, not until the program is evolving, not until after she commits suicide, did Clay know that mm-hmm. they were completely misreading each other.
That's right. She had a pet name for him. She called him Helmet because right. he was riding his bicycle. And she knew that he was sort of a nerd, mm-hmm. and he knew that she had all these things going on. They knew a great deal about each other, but they talked about many, many topics, mm-hmm. but they never told each other how they really felt.
Right. Yeah, there was the classic scene where she's doing the tape on right. Clay, which is mm-hmm. Episode 11, and she's talking about him. And she says, you know, he walked in and he was so confident and he was just so secure in who he was. And he stops the tape and he goes, wait a minute, I was scared to death.
Right.
I had no idea what was
right.
going on.
Right.
And it's that, you know, they have a persona that they have to demonstrate, that
right.
they have to present. Another character, Justin, you know, he presents mm-hmm. as this tough, you know, jock type of guy. And as you get to know him, he is being destroyed mm-hmm. by issues going on in his home.
Yeah, because of his home life.
Right? Yeah.
But there was another scene where Hannah mentions that she wanted Clay to say something to
right.
him. If you had just said,
right.
it would have made all the difference in
and
the world.
And he had no idea.
But he had no idea.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that's unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
And the author of this article said, you know, it's so important for kids to be cool
mm-hmm.
that they don't want to sacrifice cool for...
Right.
complete honesty.
Absolutely.
Or complete disclosure.
Right.
And so you tend to hold on. Sometimes we as adults do that too. You
right.
know, I don't want you to think I'm overly sensitive. Men do right. it all the time. Well, I don't want you to think I'm too tender, you
right.
know, too sensitive. So I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to disclose everything.
Yeah.
So he talks about that peer-to-peer. And he uses the term tension.
Right.
That in the movie there's this tension.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's tension in these characters because of what they don't say to each other.
Right.
Ryan was the athlete, right? The big... No, not Ryan. Who was the tall basketball player?
Oh,
you know who I'm talking about.
You caught me by surprise. I didn't...
And he could have had a relationship with Hannah, but
right.
again, it was unspoken. You
yeah.
know, there was so much that they didn't say to each other.
Right.
And they couldn't.
Right. Yeah. Now, the second pattern or the second groupings of interactions are between the adults, adult to adult.
Parent to parent or parent to...
Well, he just talks about adult to adult. So,
right.
And he
yeah.
a similar pattern to what we see between the teens
mm-hmm.
is that when a parent is talking or an adult is talking to a spouse,
right.
that's one level of intimate communication,
right.
Depth of communication. But oftentimes our communication changes when we're talking to someone outside of our... In immediate
right.
circle. So when a parent is talking to an educator or talking to a teacher or a principal mm-hmm. or something like that, we see that their style of communication changes very
right.
significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we see variability in the depth of information.
Mm-hmm.
We see different ways in which they're communicating their thoughts and ideas and beliefs and things. And we see that shift. And that happens in real life. I mean, that's not just in the program.
What struck me when I read this, and it's something I've struggled with for years, and I don't know whether you as a parent have struggled because your kids are sort of in different places than mine were. But when you know that the child, another child is doing drugs,
mm-hmm.
and you say, should I tell his parents?
Right.
You know, and
right.
it comes up all the time. Or do you realize that your child is drinking to excess or
mm-hmm.
smoking weed? You know, is it my job to tell the person
right.
that that's going on? Or
yeah.
that I think your child... It happens to us frequently. Our kids will tell us, Dad, I think that so-and-so is really depressed.
Right.
You know, what should I do with that information?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult. And then, you know, taking it to that other step of talking to professionals... You know, I remember a situation where a family member, knowing what I do, they
right.
came to me and was talking to me about their son.
Mm-hmm.
And with the kid was having a lot of problems with the teacher. The teacher
right.
seemed to, it appeared as though the teacher was not really helping the student, despite the student supposedly asking for help. And I said, well, if you'd like, I'd be happy to talk with the teacher. And they said, no, I don't want you to talk to them because... you know, I don't want you to make them mad or to talk
That's
to
right.
them. And I was like, why would I why would I talk to them and make them mad? I would just be gathering information and, you know, mm-hmm. seeing how I could support what they're doing. But there's that perspective that we have to talk with those people differently because they have certain amounts of control and right. influence in different
yeah, that's,
locations.
The, talking to the teacher is a good example yeah. because no, they might get mad at my, you know.
Yeah.
But then nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So we do have to make sure that we're mindful of how we're communicating with other adults so that we convey the information that needs to be conveyed in the way that it needs to be conveyed right. that reaches the ultimate goal that we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's not being, you know, sort of pissy with other people and just like pushing mm-hmm. pushing the boundaries and talking to them in ways that's rude and abrasive or anything like that. Right. Not confrontational, but talking to them in a way that say, this is where I am with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to work to get to where we need to be.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Right.
Say, this is what I've heard. This is what I've been told.
Right.
I want you to know. You know, if somebody knows something about my children, please let me know.
Right.
You know, all of you who are listening, let me know.
Right.
So that I can deal with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I want to know.
Now, that third pattern is the parent or the adult to the teen.
And
that interaction.
That's the one that was most troublesome to you and me, I think.
Right.
You know, the most troublesome. We right. noticed it with the others.
Right.
But this one, I think we spent more time talking about this one.
I think so, because I think that the program did a very good job of demonstrating right. the variability that we see there.
Right.
We raved in our podcast about Clay's parents and the
especially
relationship,
his father,
right? And the relationship that Clay had with them, because but even with that, even with as good and healthy as their relationship obviously was,
mm-hmm.
Clay did not talk to them about most things.
Right.
He told them what they needed to know. What needed to know from his perspective.
Right.
Not what the parents thought they needed to know, but what he thought they needed to know and what he wanted to tell them.
That's right.
But his parents did not push, they did not prod, they did not right. punish, they did not restrict. They didn't do any of those things that parents tend to do in order to gather that information that
yeah.
they want.
There were several times when Clay did things that his parents could have been angry about.
Right. Right.
His parents tended not to punish him.
Right.
And that's why he talked to them.
Your favorite line. Before we start the sentencing phase.
Oh, yes.
That was your favorite line.
When the dad says, before we get to the sentencing phase,
yeah.
can we find out what happened?
Yeah.
Yes, they weren't quick to punish, and therefore Clay could come home and tell them what was going on.
Right.
But... and we talked about this in another show, kids don't lie. They just don't tell us everything.
Right.
They tell us what they feel we need to know.
Right.
But they hold on to something, and that's part of their independence.
Right.
They're not really being dishonest. It's more of a manifestation of their increasing independence and separation from
right.
us. That, no, you don't need to know everything because I am a separate person with a private life.
Right. Okay. Now, just to clarify, teens will lie.
Oh, yeah.
But they tend to lie in situations where parents put them in a position where they need to lie.
Right. Right.
If my relationship with my son or daughter is such a way that... Mm-hmm. I'm going to hold their feet to the fire until they right. tell me something.
Right.
They're probably going to lie to me.
Right.
Because they're going to give me something that's going to suffice what I'm looking for, whether it's true or not, because they just want me to stop asking. It's not necessarily going to be the truth.
And they're not going to start the betting low. They're not going to start
right.
the betting high. They're going to start as little as possible.
Right.
It's going to be as parsimonious as possible.
Right.
They're going to throw a few crumbs out there,
mm-hmm.
and if you take those, that's all they need to do.
Right.
Okay? So,
and if you keep pushing,
right.
it'll get more glamorous.
I like the glamorous.
Yes.
Good.
It'll become very, very nice.
Yeah.
So parents, be mindful of that. Be mindful that the impact that your pressure is going to have mm-hmm. on their willingness
right.
to tell you the truth and to tell you what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
There are other examples in this program where the parents and kid teens did not talk
at all. Didn't talk at all. Right. no.
Or
my favorite.
Yeah.
Is.
I still can't remember his name.
The last Bryce.
Yeah. Oh, not yeah. I was thinking the athlete again.
And again, it was so extreme.
Right.
We never even saw his parents.
We never saw his parents. We saw him talking to them on the phone a couple times.
Right.
And they were always off on vacation.
They were never. We never saw them.
Yeah. You know?
And again, this dramatic distance between him and his parents.
Yeah. Right.
You have this closeness of Clay and his parents, and even Hannah to an extent was close to her parents, not as close,
right.
But close. But then Bryce. And Justin.
Yeah, Justin's mom. Oh.
Don't have, I mean.
Right.
Not only at, well, in right. Justin's case, they were not just absent, they were destructive
right.
of his
right.
of his psyche.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about the basketball player's mom.
Yeah, oh,
you,
his mom. Oh,
you
my gosh.
Really were frustrated with
I
her.
I wish I could remember his name.
Because she was very.
She was obnoxious.
Yeah.
And there was no dad in that picture. So
yeah,
she must have been a single parent because
right.
there was no dad in that picture. He yeah. was sort of the father figure to his younger sister. Mm-hmm. You know, they were having breakfast one
right,
morning.
Right. So, but that the nature of those relationships, and again, the program depicts those relationships very well.
I think
real.
Did.
I mean, those are real relationships.
You know, you and I have said about this program that, and I was talking to somebody the other day. A young person came in. Several young people were talking about it, and I think they were in their early 20s, and they said, no, that show really depicted
yeah.
what high school life is like.
Yeah.
That's what the parties look like. That's how they talk. That's
yeah.
how they act. And it was a pretty accurate depiction.
Right.
And when it comes to communication, I think, again, there's this rich analysis of communication tensions
right.
that... That he captures, you know, and I think it's again. I think Robin did a good job of pulling all that together.
Right, right.
So take a look at this if you've watched 13 Reasons Why,
yeah,
or if you're interested in it. There is a second season.
Yeah, I saw that.
So yeah. we may
hopefully it will be as good.
Hopefully it'll be as compelling as the first
yeah.
one.
Mm-hmm. I'll put the link to this article in the show notes. It's a little bit tough to read at times, but you know, definitely worth the time that you can put into it to go through and see what he has to say. And again, look at how it applies to you and your life and your relationship with
right.
other adults and teens and everyone. So
it wasn't Jake, was it?
No.
What was it?
I can't remember.
I remember everybody's name, but his.
I'll remember.
As soon as we click off.
Right after I say, stay
forget
happy,
to be afraid.
Stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Okay.
So, all right. Well,
enjoyed
it.
Hmm?
All right. I said it, so now.
No, say it again.
Say it again. Okay. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Zach.